Blog Talk Radio.
He wants us to be who he wants us to be. Awesome and mighty is our God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. God has given us a new day. Let us not waste it or throw it away. The Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody, this morning. And thank God for who he is, what he is, and to know that you are loved by him, that he loves you more than anything. And all we can say is, teach me good judgment and knowledge. We want to have good judgment. We want to have knowledge. We want to walk with God and talk with God. We talked about that on yesterday. Knowing that we are loved. Loved by God. Wow. And I'm taking a Bible study using Priscilla Shire's book, Discerning the Voice of God. How to recognize when God is speaking. And in our lesson on yesterday, one of the things we talked about was that with my whole heart from our psalm, which is the 119th, which we are in right now. It says, with my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you and yearning for you. Oh, let not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments. We want to walk in the commandments of God. Teach me good judgment, knowledge, for I believe your commandments. We got to believe in God. We got to believe his word. We got to believe that he is with us, that he will never forsake us, that he will never forget us, because he loves us like that. So let's get in our word. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father God, we come to you with humble hearts, minds, and spirits, asking you, Lord God, to cover our homes, to cover us, God, to cover us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. We ask you, Lord God, put a hedge of protection around us, around the homes, around our being, God. Hallelujah. We thank God again. Woo! I hope you hear me clearly. I had a little technical issue with my headset, but that's all right. Charge them every now and again. You know how that goes. But the word of God is going to go forth. Hallelujah. Because God is good, and his mercy is enduring forever and ever. So let's get into our word as I finish our prayers this morning. We pray our prayer of protection. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Whitaker. The Lord is my God. I am blessed and covered by him. My borders are secure. My home is protected. Angels encamp around me and my home. No harm shall befall me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I am safe in God. His very name is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are safe. The Lord contends with those who contend with me. Enemy agendas against me are powerless, but King Jesus is far superior. I am surrounded by a supernatural hedge of protection. In Jesus' name, we look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise. And as always, Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart stumble in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God. And as we go forth this morning, we are coming out of Jeremiah chapter 35 and 36. Our psalm today is teeth, and it is the 119th psalm, 65 through 70. Our proverb this morning is it's Proverbs 27, verse 22, and we are in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So let's get started. Get your Bible, because this is Bible study, and I am always looking for those who love the Lord and love to read the Word of God, give me a call. If you are interested in becoming a reader, tell your family and friends to call 213-943-3597 if they want to listen to a Word of God. But we go forth for the Lord. It is not about me. It is all about him. It is all about him who is our Father, who is our friend, who is our Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God today. And let's get started. Everybody, hopefully you got your Bible. And the word of God coming out of Jeremiah chapter 35. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Anan, the son of Igdalah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We are wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyards, field, or seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed the obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell in Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, said, thus the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my word, says the Lord? Not obey my word. Will you not receive instructions to obey my words? And I'm sure God is saying that to us today. You know, so many times we forget to just say, Lord, thank you. And he wants us to know that we are blessed, that we are highly favored, that we are his sons and daughters, and that he loves us, and that he wants the best for us, and he wants us to obey his word. And then it says, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandments. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil, nay, evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. He said, now listen, these tent dwellers, I told you to tell them to drink some wine. They like, we got a command from our forefathers. We don't drink. We live in tents. We don't buy this. We don't do that. But yet, here you are, Jerusalem, not wanting to obey the commandments that I, the Heavenly Father, gave you. And he says this, you know, God don't play. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them. But they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. What did it say? Discerning the voice of God. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all the precepts and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. God blessed him. He blessed these men. He blessed this family. He blessed the Rechabites because they obeyed the commandments. That's what God wants us to obey, to listen, to obey, to follow his will. Now it came to pass in the, this is chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word to Jeremiah from the Lord said, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the day of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all that adversity, which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote on the scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come forth from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Barak, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah, the prophet, commanded him, reading them the book, the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Barak read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Shaphan, heard of the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were standing. Ishma, the scribe, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, El Nathan, the son of Ekbar, Jemariah, the son of Shephan, Zedekiah, the son of Hanani, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehuda, the son of Nathanai, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cush, to Barak, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. So Barak, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, sit down and read it in our hearing. So Barak read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one another and said to Barak, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words in this instruction and his instruction? So Barak answered them, he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princess said to her, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Ishmael, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. The king sent Jehoiada to bring the scroll, and he took it from Ishmael, the scribe's chamber, and Jehoiada read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the north in the ninth month, with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehoiada had read it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments. The king nor any of his servants who heard all these words, nevertheless, after Elnathan, Delaiah, and Jeremiah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Shariah, the son of Ezra, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdel, to seize the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written on the instructions, at the instructions of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that says the Lord, you have burned the scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He shall have no one. Dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them. But they did not heed. And Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the instructions of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. Don't try to destroy the word of God. The word of God will go forth. This word will be here when we are gone, because God's word is true, and we stand on this word. We stand on it with every fiber of our being. We stand on the word of God. And as we go back to some life lessons from Jeremiah chapter 36 that we have gotten from Dr. Charles Stanley, and for those that are listening in, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I tell everyone, get this Bible. Get this Bible for your biblical arsenal, for your daily devotion. It is a great Bible. We will be in it for one more year. We'll be in it next year. After next year, I don't know, because God hasn't given it to me yet. But we will be in this Bible one more year. So I tell you today, get this Bible. It is so well worth it. You can go to christianbooks.com and order it. You can also get it at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, whichever is your purchasing place of choice. But I tell you, it is worth it. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 7, it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. Since we never know when someone has crossed the point of no return, we should always urge men and women to repent and return to the Lord so that he might heal them. Repent. Repent is what God is wanting us to do. Repent from our sins. Repent from those things that we do that we know are not of God. And it says King Jehoiakim, God's word stands. The evil king Jehoiakim of Judah proves that while someone may physically destroy the pages of the Bible, no one may prevent the fulfillment of even a single word spoken by the mouth of God. His word stands regardless of what men may do. When Jehoiakim heard words of divine judgment pronounced on him and his wicked kingdom, the king took the offending scroll and cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed. He did so probably to show his contempt for the messenger and to demonstrate his lack of fear regarding the message. God let the king's insolence stand for 7 years, but when he refused to repent, the Lord fulfilled every threat that he had made regarding the king. God always keeps his promises, whether for blessing or judgment. We want to be blessed by the Lord. We want to have a blessing. We want to know that we are walking in the way that God has called us to walk and doing what God has called us to do. In Jeremiah 36:24, they were not afraid. Until God actually comes in judgment, it is possible to mock his word and ridicule his servants right up until the flood waters arrive. It is possible to doubt his existence until one's own comes into question. Woo! Folks losing their minds and don't understand. God is in charge of everything. And as we go into our song this morning, which is where our title comes from, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Teach me. We want to ask God to teach us. And that teaching comes from the word of God. And teach is the word. It says you have dealt well with your, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Woo! David was going through. We all have our moments where we are going through, but we trust God. We ask God, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. We've got to believe God. Hallelujah. And as we go forth this morning in Proverbs, we have a life lesson from the 119th Psalm, verse 67. Before I was a afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. David, we all know David was a mess. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a mighty man of God, and he trusted God. The one thing about David that we must all remember is he trusted God. He trusted God, and we must trust God, too. We must lean on his everlasting word, trusting in the Lord with every part of our being, trusting God. And as we go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 22, but I want to go back to what Dr. Stanley says. God uses affliction not as a whip to force us in line, but as a messenger to urge us back into a safe place. Affliction is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. We all have gone through in our lives, some more than others, but we must trust God. We must open our hearts, open our minds to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And that's what we must remember. God's mercy endures forever. And as we go into Proverbs 27:22, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Oh my goodness. What a word. What a word. It's a today word. We can see it today. Everything can be proven to you in writing, in court, in everything. But in your mind, you will say, I don't believe it. I'm never going to believe it. I don't trust it. I'm never going to trust it. And we know now it's because it is the word of God. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Don't get mad. Don't get angry because people are not wanting to believe what you got to say. Understand that when someone has gotten something in their mind, it's going to stay there. You got people that just hate folks because of the color of their skin. And I don't care how many people that don't look like them help them right, they still want to hate. Because hate has been poured down from generation to generation. I remember watching a George Jefferson episode where this man was in his building and he was a white supremacist. And he was talking hate about people of color. And George, you know, was not afraid of anybody. And, you know, George had it ordered to tell him off, and he started to have a heart attack. And he needed a blood transfusion. And George was going to give him a blood transfusion. But he said, I would rather die than take a black man's blood. And I say this, blood is blood. Under this skin that God has placed me in, my blood is the same as your blood. My organs are the same as your organs because God created us both in his image. And as we go in all this different direction of foolishness, nobody is superior to anybody. The only superiority in this world is God. It's Jesus Christ. Who's superior? The Holy Spirit. We are nobody's better than anybody else. And God wants us to love each other. He wants us to care about each other. We got to love God and trust him. All this foolishness dealing with race is just that, foolishness. You know, I remember in high school, a lot of my friends didn't look like me. And to this very day, I love those women and guys that were the people I liked. And I believe they liked me too. Because we did not want to see and didn't see race. We saw love. We saw friendship. We saw laughter. We saw peace. We saw joy. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be united in love. All this other stuff is not of God. It's of the enemy. Don't let anybody trick you. We know that Satan is a trickster. And what does he like to do the most? Divide and conquer. He likes to divide and conquer. He wants to make us hate each other. And that's not of God. God is love. And when we come to the realization that God is love, everything else will fall into place. Trust the Lord today. And as we go into 1 Timothy this morning, Paul is giving instructions to the church on leadership, on doctrine. And we have to listen, even though there's some stuff that I don't agree with Paul on. And that's when he goes into the eyeball stuff. I'm like, not quite sure. But if he gave it from a divine appointment and God gave it to him, we need to listen. But then now when he goes, he says, now the Spirit expressly says, now this is where he's coming in from what God told him to say. Not his own opinion, but thus says the Lord through the Spirit. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. All up in today's word, is he not? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I got to read it again. Now the Spirit, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Bam. The truth shall set you free, y'all. And I want to read that. I got to read it one more time. Because this is what he's saying. Now, the Spirit of God, expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines, spirits, and doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. Folks, lying, proper lying, preacher lying, just lying. And he said it in his word. We got to listen to the word of God. Now the Spirit, not our Paul, but the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. You caught that. To marry. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received from with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. But it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I personally don't eat meat and pork because it messes with my stomach. But understand that with thanksgiving, if all there is beef and pork, I'm going to give it to God and I'm going to eat it. It's a choice that I make not to eat it, not something that God said you can't have that, but my body just doesn't digest it well. That's my own, and it messes with my blood pressure, so I don't eat those two meats. But I can if it's given to me, and it's given to me with thanksgiving. And he said, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is by the word of God and prayer. That's a word from God, not from me. And he said, it's the Spirit, and it's not from Paul. It's from God. Peter had to come to that realization when God opened that sheet and every animal. And he's like, I don't need unclean animals. God said, let me tell you something. If I created it, it's not unclean. If I say it's not. God sometimes will show us ourselves that we get so caught up in the doctrine that we forget to be caught up in faith. And it says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have so carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth. He's talking to Timothy. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Wow. Not a big word today, not a long word today, but an on-time word today. And as we go back into some life lessons from 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says in verse 1, in latter times, some will depart from the faith. And we know that it's going on today. Folks following after everybody, everything, every mega ministry, every, you know, ooh, they got the greatest band. And folks going for the show, for the band, for the choir, and not for God. Jamming today at church. And what was the word? Oh, I don't know, Pastor preached about something. But girl, oh, the praise team, they was on fire. What did Pastor say? What scripture did he come from? What scripture did she come from? Oh, girl, I don't remember all that. I just know that the praise team was on fire. I left before, oh, girl, please, I left before Pastor gave this message this morning. I was tired. You know, I prayed and praised and danced, girl. I was wore out. I got up and left. Come on now. How often does it happen where the praise team goes 45, 50 minutes and the pastor goes 10 or 15? But you don't remember what the pastor said. You don't remember what scripture it came from. You don't remember anything about the word of God. But you know that the praise team was on fire. Wow. How often do we hear that? How often does that happen when people come for praise and worship and then leave before the message? When we're there for the message. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, in latter times, some will depart from the faith, since I've always plagued the church. But the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more prevalent these challenges will become. That's why we must remain diligent. We got to be on the gate. We got to be the watchman on the wall. Because all kind of stuff is going to start coming out. You don't look up and there's going to be some new Bible that's taken the word and totally pruned it so that nothing that God says is in it. We've got to be careful who we watch on YouTube. We got to be careful of who we listen to. We got to be careful of what we do. In 1 Timothy 4 and 12, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Regardless of how old you are or how long you have followed Christ, you can become an excellent example to others by submitting your life to Christ and learning how to rely upon the power and leading of the Spirit. In 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And I loved what Dr. Stanley said in verse 12. regardless of how old you are or how long you have followed Christ, you can become an excellent example to others by submitting your life to Christ and learning how to rely upon the power and leading of the Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:12, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Wow. Be an example. And as we go into verse 15 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy, on these things, give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. The modern church, Dr. Stanley tells us, has largely lost the art of pondering God's word, mulling it over, letting it simmer, and focusing prolonged attention on it. But hard thinking remains a crucial piece in becoming more like Christ. We got to think hard on the word of God. That is all the word we have. I do have a prayer from my prayer book for today. And I have to say, I don't know who wrote this. It doesn't have names in it. It just has the prayers. But I tell you what, the prayer for yesterday was right on point, and I felt it was just for me. That prayer had, as I say, it had my name on it. It had my name on it. Said this for today's word. Self-discipline. Right on point with our word this morning. Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, and self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. 1 Peter 4:7, TPT. God of power, you are my strength. You have everything I need to face any situation. When I come up against temptations that promote my own comfort and do nothing to benefit anyone, may I be rooted in your grace. I know your grace empowers me in every situation. With your help, I can assert self-control. I am quick to rave about the nice-sounding fruit of the Spirit, but self-control is often let out. However, when I practice it, the intentionality feels like freedom. I'm so grateful for your wisdom that pushes me outside of my comfort zone and leads me into greater freedom in you. Your ways are better than my own. I submit myself to you again, knowing that what you require is for my benefit. My life be full of intention and purpose. You are my great reward and worth every sacrifice I could ever bring. And the question for this morning, how does self-discipline make space in your life? How does self-discipline make space in your life? We got to trust God this morning. We got to give it over to him. We got to let him know that we love him more than anything. And as we get ready to go into a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, which I have not gotten this morning, but we will have a word from Sister Carolyn on tomorrow. But I just wanted to leave you with this scripture. And it says, let us pursue the things which make things by which one may edify another. Romans 14:19. New King James, keep God first in everything that you do and watch God work in your life. That's all I have this morning. I give it all to God, and I thank him for this mighty, mighty word. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Be blessed and know that you are highly favored by God, giving God honor, glory, and praise. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. It's a wrap. Oh, no, it's not. We just got a word from Sister Carolyn. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. And I just thank my sister for coming in. And this is a word just on time. Hallelujah. God knew that we didn't want to end without a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And the word that God gave our sister in Christ is, you are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Can you church say amen? Again, all up in the word today. Say it again. Good morning. You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of his divine plan. Have a worry-free Wednesday. And again, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. You know, and I love when he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. And Sister Carolyn tells us, we are where we are supposed to be. Whew, we are where we are supposed to be. Where you are, you are where God wants you to be at this moment. God wants me to be where God wants us to be is in his word. Wow. Every experience is part of his divine plan. Thank God today. Trust in God today. Keep his commandments and his precepts and know who you belong to. You are a child of God and you are loved more than you can ever imagine. And, you know, I have one more word. Thank you, God. And this is from my Bible study I attend on Tuesdays. And it's from A.W. Tozer. It says, whoever seeks God as a means toward desired ends will not find God. The mighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, will not be one of many treasures, not even the chief of treasures. He will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Then you do. Let him be your all in all. And as we have already prayed out our prayer, I say to you this morning, family, thank you for listening in. Thank you for going through all my technical issues with my headset and all that. But trust God today. Believe that he will and he must. And we must lean on the Lord. We are where we need to be, as Sister Carolyn says. And that is in the presence of God. Have a great day, family.